we should hear good news, Bekarov, and hopefully to be able to reschedule so that I'll be able to introduce him like I do every single year, Mirtz Hashem, in a few weeks. Since that's the avoda here in camp, to be noseh b'olam chaveiro, and that's the avoda in the world in general, bechlal, but befrat during this time, as we've been speaking about, as Rav Judah spoke about last night, as we've been speaking about over and over again during orientation, to be noseh b'olam chaveiro, to be noseh b'ol with the families of the campers who are providing services for, to be noseh b'ol with our co-counselors who are trying their best and trying, the teachers who are trying to help them to be able to do their jobs properly, to help those who are giving shirim, that we should be able to have a vibrant base medrash. The concept of being noseh b'olam chaveiro is something which is A, at the core of the Torah, but B, at the core of life. Rav Chaim Volozhiner's son, in his introductory comments to the Nefesh HaChaim, writes that in his father's home, it was almost impossible to go a day without hearing his father talk about how a person has to do on behalf of other people. That's the purpose of this world. And dafka, when there's a difficulty, dafka when someone's challenged with difficult news, with a whole host of life challenges, our achrayas is to be noseh ba'ol im chaveiro, to help the members involved to carry that burden, not to make the burden harder by being down and not positive, but by trying to pump positive vibes into the situation as best as we can. The Rabbeinu Shlomo wrote in his Holy Torah in the 23rd parak of Sefer Shmos, Kisira chamor sonecha. When you see the donkey of your enemy, rovetz tachas mas'o, is buckling under the weight of the refrigerator or whatever is being carried on the back of that donkey. V'chadalta me'ozlo azov tazov imo. You have to help the person to unburden that animal, to take the weight off of that situation, in order to aid and to give help to the person who's struggling, even if they're your enemy. Kal v'chomer, if they're your brother, kal v'chomer, if they're a mashpia of yours. And this is our challenge right now. This is what our mandate is. Rav Chaim Ozer Grudzinski was one time having a conversation with the rare Torah genius, the Ostrovtsi Rebbe. In a few minutes, after we wrap up, Rav Avi is going to continue the Shir and Makos, and we're learning Makos together. Rav Chaim Ozer was once having a conversation with the Ostrovtsi Rebbe, and after exchanging a few Torah ideas, the Ostrovtsi said a profound insight into a particular piece of Gemara that Reb Chaim was learning. And he said to him, wow, Gavra Rabba Ata, you are a great man. You're an amazing human being. And the Ostrovtsi Rebbe said to Reb Chaim Ozer Grudzinski that there's a Gemara in Makos that says, the Gemara says in Makos and Daf Chaf Beis. We'll get there soon enough. Amarava kama tipshoi shar inshi. How foolish are people that they get up for a Sefer Torah, but they don't get up for a Gavra Rabba. A Sefer Torah walks into the room, instantly everybody jumps up. But a great person walks into the room, so we're not as quick to get up, maybe we don't get up at all. How foolish are people? And the proof that these men are Gavra Rabba, that they're greater, so to speak, even than the Torah itself, is that, after all, the Torah says you're supposed to get 40 makos, arboim yakenu, you should give him 40 makos, and come along the Gavra Rabba, come along these great men, Anshei Knesset HaGedola, and those who came from them, Chazal, maybe earlier,
came along and said, only 39. And the Ashraf Zarebi said, you know what a Gavar Rabba is? A Gavar Rabba is not someone who could come up with a good Bar Torah. A Gavar Rabba is not a person who says over a good Pshetel in the Gemara. A Gavar Rabba is someone who takes away pain from another Jew. Because, you see the example that the Gemara gave? The Torah says you should give 40 makos. Came along Chazal and they said, only 39 makos. They took away one patch from a Jew. That's a Gavar Rabba. Just because I said a nice Dvar Torah doesn't mean I'm a Gavar Rabba. Everybody sitting in this room are Gavrei Rabba. Great men and women who are doing their best to take a summer of their lives and hopefully beyond. That's all what we're doing here. It's not just about the summer, but to transform ourselves into people who are just trying to lift the burden off of others. To be nosei ba'ol with our friends, with our family. To try to make life a little bit easier when things become difficult. And if it's true that this obligation is for our enemies, and certainly for our friends, then it's certainly true for our brothers. Beautiful idea that I think I first heard probably 11 years ago from Rav Judah. Again, going back to Sefer Shmos. In Sefer Shmos, at the very beginning of the Sefer, at the very beginning of the redemption of the Jewish people, right before the light is about to burst forth, in the darkest of times, with Moshe Rabbeinu's life hanging in the balance, Vatered Bas Paro Lirchotz Al Hayaor. Bas Paro goes down to the river, and she sees that there's something floating in the river. She walks over to the basket which contains the young Moshe Rabbeinu. And she bends down to see, V'hinei nar boche. V'tar'eyu es hayeled v'hinei nar boche. She sees the child. And the nar is boche. This child is crying. And she says, this must be a Jewish child. The Mefarshim are all trying to figure out, how is this a Jewish child? She opened the basket, she saw that he was mal, she saw that he had a bris milah, she heard that his cry was different, it was a cry of hope. Many different answers. But the Baal HaTurim, taking a cue from the Baal HaTosfos before, points out that if you look carefully at an anomaly in the text, which all the Rishonim are grappling with, that it says she opened up the basket and she saw the Yeled v'hine nar boche. Why does the Torah suddenly switch from a Yeled to a Nar? Why does it change the word? So the Baal HaTurim says that she saw Moshe Rabbeinu, she saw this baby floating in the river, and when she opened up the basket and she saw there was a child in there, all of a sudden she heard, somewhere in the distance, she heard a cry. And she turned and she saw Aaron HaKohen was standing a few feet away crying because he was watching over his brother who was in the river. Because he was watching over another Jew who also happened to be his brother who was in a very precarious situation. And when she saw that there was someone else who was crying over this child in the river, she said, this has to be a Jewish baby. It wasn't that she saw the bris milah. It wasn't that she heard a cry of hope. Maybe it was also that. But mixed with the cries of the baby, she heard a cry in the corner of another Jew who cared. She heard that there was someone who was nosei ba'ol with this child. And she said, this has to be a Jewish child. Different families have different customs about what you do on a long Shabbos afternoon. Some people, the kids go to the basement and they, they play Nerf basketball. Some people, they pretend, I was just recently by my brother and sister-in-law's house right before the summer, by Moshe Tzvi's house,
And I was playing with my nieces. I don't get to see them because we live in Eretz Yisrael so much. A little bit on Skype, but not enough in person. We were in the basement, and the whole time they were playing, like, Gabriela, if anyone knows, she was the Mora, and Zahava was being Chana Gabriela. She was being Gabriela, and they were playing school. Different people have different things that they do. My mother says we used to sit and read books together. We didn't do the Nerf thing. We just sat and played nicely together. Unusual boys. But in the house of the fourth Lubavitcher Rebbe, they played a little bit of a different game. Rav Shalom Dovber, who would eventually become the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe, used to play a game with his brother, Zalman Aaron, called Rebbe Chassid. It's, I guess, a take on the game that my nieces were playing. And the way the game would go is as follows. One of them, usually the older brother, Zalman Aaron, would be the Rebbe. Shalom Dovber would be the Chassid. And the Chassid would leave the room, the Rebbe would get ready, you know, he'd probably like grab a blanket from the corner and like put it over his head, like a talis, and go sit in the beanbag chair in the corner. And Rav Shalom Dovber would walk in, and the way it went in Chabad was that when you have the chiddus with the Rebbe, so you get to ask two questions. You get to ask a question in like Chabad philosophy, and you get to ask a question in Avodah. Something that you're working on in Avodas Hashem. So Rav Shalom Dovber walked in, Rav Zalman Aaron has the blanket over his head, and he's swaying in the corner. At least that's how I pictured it in my mind. And Rav Shalom Dovber walks in, he says, please, you know, Rav Zalman Aaron says, please sit down. Maybe you have a question. So he says, I'd like to ask a question in Chabad philosophy. In Haskalah. He said, what is a Jew? According to Chabad philosophy, what is a Jew? So the young Zalman Aaron said, a Jew is fire. So the Chassid asked the Rebbe, so if a Jew is fire, how come sometimes we're not playing Rebbe Chassid and we're, you know, doing things that regular children do, how come I can touch you and I don't get burned? Said, because you're also a Jew and you're fire and fire can't burn fire. Psh, wow, what a Rebbe. So it's going okay. And he said, okay, Rebbe, now I'd like to ask my question in Avodah. Please. He said, Rebbe, I'm trying all the time to work on my davening, and recently my davening, it's just, I can't get there. And I've been working on it, and I'm getting distracted all the time, I can't pay attention, and I sometimes find myself mumbling the words and not really engaged fully like I should be. And immediately, Rav Zalman Aaron started saying, there's this new book, it's called Pathway to Prayer, you could use it. It goes line by line, I'll tell you exactly what to do. Just follow along, it'll be... And all of a sudden, you just saw Rav Shalom Dovber's face just got turned black. And he looked at his brother and he started screaming, he said, you're not a Rebbe, you're not a real Rebbe! And all of a sudden, his brother, like, you know, like the fake talis came off and, like, the game just became not so fun anymore. What happened? What did I do? So Shalom Dovber turned to his brother and he said to him, if you were a real Rebbe, when I was telling you my difficulties in my avoda, you would have let out a sigh first. You would have let out a krechts. You wouldn't have jumped right away to tell me how to fix it. You would have felt my pain. You would have said, oh, I'm so sorry that you're going through that. You're not a real Rebbe. To be nosei ba'olam chavero doesn't just mean that we help out a little bit. The Maharal says, in his commentary to Pirkei Avot, that to be nosei ba'olam chavero means that you're mevatel your sense of anochi, you're mevatel your sense of self, and you take upon yourself the other person's difficulty. You don't crumble because you hear bad news. You think positively, you act productively, you daven. You don't crumble. You take the weight off of the other person, you put it on your own shoulders. You give up your own anochi and take the place of the other person. You don't feel bad for a few minutes and then forget to daven in the next 20, you know, Shmon Esrei's. To really feel the other person's pain. And there's a diuk in the Lashon of Chazal. The Lashon that we've been using is Noseh Ba'ol Im Chaveiro. And some would like to ask that really, the Mishnah could have been written differently. It could have been written as that a person is supposed to be Noseh Im Chaveiro Ba'ol. He should be Noseh Im Chaveiro Ba'ol. He should help with his friend with the weight. But if you think carefully about the difference between Noseh Ba'ol Im Chaveiro, Noseh Ba'ol Im Chaveiro, it means you're Noseh Ba'ol, and the person who really has the difficulty, you know, helps out a little bit. Noseh Ba'ol, I'm carrying the burden. Im Chaveiro, my friend, who's the one who really has the burden, is helping me out. And a lot of times when we're being Noseh Ba'ol Im Chaveiro, when we're working with our campers, and we hear difficult news in Eretz Yisrael, or in America, or in our families, Rachman Otzlan, Hashem Yazor. So we have to be Noseh Ba'ol Im Chaveiro. And so many times, we just suffice by being Noseh Im Chaveiro Ba'ol. One Purim, in the town of Tzanz, as was the custom, as is the custom in many places, the Chevra got together to put on a Purim spiel. And every story that I've ever heard that starts like this always ends up bad, so if you're ever in a situation where you have to ask the Rebbe permission to imitate them in the spiel, don't do it, because it always ends up bad. So, one of the Chevra came to the Divrei Chaim, and they said to the Divrei Chaim, do you mind if I do the Rebbe's, you know, shtick? I'm sure he didn't say it like that, but you might even do the Rebbe's thing. So everyone said, fine, for sure you have my permission. So the guy got up to do the spiel, and he started pretending like he was reading Kvitlach, like the Rebbe would read people's names and daven for them. And he was so good at it. He was amazing. He had just the right amount of, you know, the accent of the Rebbe, the right inflection. He was doing it perfectly. And everybody started to have a good laugh. And the Divrei Chaim looked at him and said, if you're going to do it, then you have to do it really like me. And all of a sudden, the guy dropped on the floor, all of a sudden, just out of nowhere. He dropped on the floor, screaming in agony. He couldn't handle it. The Divrei Chaim passed the real pain that he felt when he was reading Kvitla. It wasn't just an act. For a second, this guy felt the pain that the Divrei Chaim felt when he was reading about the pain of another Jew, and he couldn't handle it, not even for a second. And Divrei Chaim had to take that back from him. Everything that we're doing here in this Beis Medrash, all the learning that we're doing, all the chesed that we're doing, has to be within the context of Noseh Ba'ol Im Chaveiro. Has to be. It can't just be that we're doing it because we feel bad. It can't just be because I want to have a good thing to put on my resume that I worked in Camp Hask. The learning in the Beis Medrash has to be Noseh Ba'ol Im Chaveiro also. I'll end with one more Maisa. Rav Yeruchim of Mir once called to close the Mir Yeshiva. He said, we have to close the Yeshiva. All the learning that's going to go on in this Beis Medrash the whole time needs to be founded on top of this story. One time, there were a few Bachrim who were traveling back to their dorms, back to the yeshiva, and a few of the Chevra were walking together when they were stopped by a police officer who maybe didn't like yeshiva Bachrim that much, and started giving them a hard time. Where are you going? What are you doing? Why are you out now? And let me see some ID. Don't have ID, we're just coming from yeshiva. We're going back to the dorms. We're not. We're just, look at us, we're yeshiva bachrim. He said, I want to see ID. So it happened to be that three out of the four bachrim who were walking together lived in one dorm. And there was another boy who lived a little bit in a different place. And the four of them started walking together with this police officer. And when they arrived at the first dormitory, the first place of residence where they were living, so the three boys who lived there went in, and they got their ID cards, and they showed it to the police officer, and he had enough of his fun, and he said, okay, I guess this is where you live. Get inside, I don't want to see you. And the next day, when they got to yeshiva, they heard that the guy said, well, this is a crazy thing, this police officer. And Rav heard what had happened, and he got wind of the fact that those three bachurim just went inside and let the fourth one just go with the police officer by himself, without checking to make sure that he would be able to find his ID. I don't know, maybe his dorm room was messy, maybe he couldn't find the ID. Maybe, how could you just go into the dorm, just go to sleep and have a peaceful night, knowing that there's a friend of yours who's in an Eis Tzara who needs help? How is that possible? How could you do that? It can't be possible. Rav Yerucham said it's better to close down the mirror and cancel all the Torah learning, because if the Torah learning is not founded on the fact that we're doing it b'shem Kol Yisrael, we're doing it on behalf of all the Jewish people, then it's not real Torah learning. Then it's not real chesed. Then it's just us trying to make ourselves feel better. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the strength and the resolve to be able to daven strong, to do it as much as we can b'simcha, as much as we can b'amuna. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us, that we should be able to see good things, like I said before. And we'll be zochet to have the shir that was intended to be tonight in a short while. Amen.